So that would be a recommendation. So let's just finish up what we were talking about yesterday. We had the machlokes between the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah and many other Rishonim on one hand, and you had the Meiri, and I believe there's also Hagos Mordechai who holds like this Meiri on the other hand. So if you recall, what were the two opinions, right? What did each one say?
About regarding the machlokes of Yehuda and
yeah.
The Rabbanan.
So what did each one say?
Whether just within the same day when you shouldn't contradict each other, or whether from day to day.
Right. So in other words, according to the Rosh, which way do we say? According to the Rosh, what do we say?
From day to day.
Right. You can't switch from one day to the next. Right? And we saw that even more clearly in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah said that not only are you not allowed to switch off from day to day, but I already picked for you, right? I already, the minhag where he was, was to daven, you know, like most of where we live, I think. There's a minhag is that you have they daven mincha before shkia, marav after shkia, right? If you've ever been to a mincha marav, that's generally how it works. So you daven mincha before shkia, marav after shkia, and that's the minhag olam in his time. And he says, therefore, you have to go that way, right? That is the opinion of Rabbeinu Yonah. That's the opinion of the Rosh. Whereas the opinion of the Meiri was what?
Is that you do between days you're allowed to switch.
Right, you're allowed to switch off from day to day. You can't switch off within the same day. You can't daven mincha like the Chachamim and then Mariv like Rabbi Yehuda. But you can switch off on Sunday. You could daven like Rabbi Yehuda. On Monday you could daven like the Chachamim. So that's the Shita of the Meiri. So each one quoted a different proof to their shita, right? To his shita. Each one, the Rosh had a proof and the Meiri had a proof. What was the Rosh's proof? Right. What do we call that? Shidra v'gogolas, right? So you have the Shidra v'gogolas Gemara where it says if you want to be machmir like Beis Shammai in everything, you can be machmir like Beis Shammai and everything. If you want to be mekel like Beis Hillel and everything, you can be mekel like Beis Hillel and everything. But if you're going to be machmir both like Beis Shammai and like Beis Hillel, so that's ridiculous. And if you're going to be mekel both like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that's also ridiculous. So you can't do that. So then the Gemara said, "Whoa, it's not 100% true. It depends. It depends on what type of chumras and kulas we're talking about." They said, "If we're talking about the Shedriva Gogolas case, then you're right. That doesn't make any sense." So what is that case? Right? Let's remind ourselves, what's that case?
How much of a spine, or how big a hole?
Right, right. How big does the hole, we use the skull example, but is it so true, the spinal cord example? Does it, how many chulios, how many vertebrae does it have to be missing in order to be considered chaser? Right, so according to Beis Shammai, it has to be missing two vertebrae. And according to Beis Hillel, it only has to be missing one. Right, and so too, for the animal to be a trefa, let's say it's one crushed vertebrae, so then Beis Hillel would say it's a trefa, and Beis Shammai would say it's still kshera, it's still good. And but on the flip side, Beis Hillel would hold if it's already, Beis Hillel would say that if a human being was already missing a vertebrae or had a crushed vertebrae, and that's the spinal column that you have, so you're allowed, a kohen's allowed to be in the same room as that dead body, right? So, but if you, according to Beis Shammai, so he has a chumrah there. It has to be missing two vertebrae in order for a kohen to be allowed to be in the same room. But he has a kula when it comes to hilchos trefos, that if the animal is only missing one vertebrae, then it's still kosher, right? There's a unrelated story. It's a cute story. I was not there when it happened, but I heard this from Rabbi Yonasan Sachs, who's a Rebbe in YU for many years. Now he's the Rosh Hashiva of Lander College. So he said that when Rav Avram Shapiro was the chief rabbi of Israel, so he was the Rosh Hashiva Merkaz Arav for many years, and he was the chief rabbi of Israel for, what is it, 10 years? It's a 10-year period, I think. I don't know, whatever. So he came to visit YU, and he was going to give a shiur in a building called First Hall. That's a guy's name who donated, was First, F-U-R-S-T. So he's going into First Hall. Now in First Hall at the time, they had a bio lab, I think, in the basement. And it was a whole hack back and forth whether or not Kohanim were even allowed to go into the building. So for whatever, I don't know the details of the discussion, but apparently many of the Rabbanim held it was mutter, but there was always a underbelly of people who held that you were not allowed to go in. I don't know who said what, I don't know anything about it. But apparently so the way Rabbi Sachs always tells over the story is he says that Rav Shapiro is a Kohen name, in case you knew. So he says that Rav Shapiro was going into the building to give a shiur, and some guy comes running after him. He says, Harav, Harav, Al tikanes l'sham, ze makom tuma. So the way Rabbi Sachs tells the story, he says, but he just kept going anyway because he figured everybody says that about YU. So don't worry, I'm an alumnus also. Anyway, the question is a Kohen allowed to be in the same room? Let's say so they took out some of the skull, they took out some of the spinal column. So are you allowed to be in the same room? Are you allowed to have your production of Hamlet? Are you allowed to have all these things? The Rush wants to say that's the determining factor, right? If you're going to be machmir like Beis Shammai, that it needs to have a really big hole in it in order for you to be in the same room as it, so then you're also going to be maker like Beis Shammai when it comes to Hilchos Treifos. You can't be machmir like Beis Shammai for Tumas Oel and maker and machmir like Beis Hillel for Treifos. It doesn't work that way. Because why wouldn't that make any sense to do? Why doesn't that make sense? To be machmir. Well, I want to be machmir. I'm a very machmir person. So why can't I be machmir both times? What? What do you mean it contradicts?
Because when you're machmir, you make one a different
way. You can't say now that this is
right. Meaning we're arguing definitions here. We're not arguing. It's not a machlokas in hanhaga. It's not a way how you should act. Right? That's not the machlokas. The machlokas here is what is the halachic definition of a skull? What is the halachic definition of a shedra? So if you say the halachic definition of a skull is kol zman, that it isn't missing a large amount, so you can't change your definitions based on the situation. That doesn't make any sense. If you say, oh, the halacha is this, now sometimes you might want to act a little more machmir, a little more maker. Okay, that there's room to be maker, there's room to be machmir. But when the machlokas is gufa, what is the halachic definition of something, you can't change your halachic definitions as you go. That's the Rush's argument. So if you look in the Sefer Kehilas Yaakov, the Stipler, so he explains that's what's going on here in the machlokas between the Rush and the Meiri. The Gemara, they're having a machlokas. What does the phrase "da avid kamar avid" mean? That's the question. What does it mean "da avid kamar avid"? You should do like either one. What do you mean you should do like either one? You just get to pick and choose? No. What the Rush holds is that there's a machlokas in Psak Halacha. So it's 50-50. What are we arguing about? How do you define daytime and how do you define nighttime? Or at least the Inyan Tefillah. Right? How do you define daytime? How do you define nighttime? So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Plag HaMincha is the ending of the daytime, and so after Plag HaMincha is the beginning of the nighttime. So you can't say, oh, today after Plag HaMincha is nighttime, and tomorrow it's daytime. No, you already paskin. You already gave up sack. This time of day, this time of the cycle is called nighttime. It can't be daytime tomorrow if it was nighttime today. That's the Ovid Kemar Ovid. It's a din in Psak Halacha. You have to state, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Why do I hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Because they're arguing definitions of day and night. So I'm going to define it as daytime today. I can't define it as nighttime tomorrow, and vice versa. There's no such thing as switching your definitions. That's like saying, oh, for the purposes of Tumah, it's a skull. But for the purposes of Trefos, it's not a skull. That's not true. You can't do that. You understand? Whereas the Meiri, he says, that's not the kind of machlokas we're having here. That's not what the Gemara means when it says, the Ovid Kemar Ovid. The Gemara is saying we have a suffix. We don't know what to do in the case of a suffix.
So the way we should act.
So right, exactly. It's a machlokas in Hanhaga. It's a machlokas in how you should behave. What should you do given the circumstances? You understand? So you're dealing with a suffix. Let's say, for example, you don't know, right? You don't know what the metzius is in a particular case. So you say, well, let's say you can't remember whether or not you made a bracha. So it depends, right? What should you do? Do you have to make another bracha or do you don't have to make another bracha? So it depends. What does it depend on? What does it depend on, guys? You can't remember if you made a bracha. What's the halacha? What should you do? So you say, I have a Savik bracha, so you can be Mekel. Unless it's what? Unless it's what? Right, a bracha is Amazon, right? Unless it's benching. So if it's benching, so then you don't have the right to be Mekel if you ate a full meal. If you ate a little bit, right, you ate a kezias, then you could also, it's also derabbanan. But if you ate a whole meal and now you can't remember whether or not you said birchas hamazon, so then you have to bench again, right? Yeah, yeah. So really, it's kedei svia. You have to eat so that. No. It's clear from the Gemara that they're saying that's nobody's full from a kezias. A kezias on the Daraisa level, a kezias is what's called achila. Achila means a kezias. Whenever it says in the Torah, there's a chi of achila. Right? For example, we learn the Gemara in Yoma that says that what's the chi? What are you chayev to do on Yom Kippur? Are you chayev to fast? So of course, yeah. But what really are you chayev to do?
The day before.
Yeah, also true. I'm not being clear on my question. What is there a chi of? Is there an iser achila on Yom Kippur, or there's a chi of inui? Right? That's what I mean by that. I mean, inui means afflicting yourself, right? So it means taking away certain creature comforts. So therefore, so the number one thing that we explain the Torah is saying is that you can't eat and drink on Yom Kippur. That's inui. Right? Then there's the Rishonim debate, what about the other inuyim? Okay, but look, for our purposes, we all agree that eating on Yom Kippur is aser because of inui, not because of achila. For example, you can't eat nevela. Right, what we call, you know, in non-kosher, right? So let's say you go to McDonald's and they have a burger. It's a cow burger. Let's say, Ki'ilu, McDonald's burgers were made out of cows and not rat. But right, if you ever have a tremendous desire to go into McDonald's, they did a study many years ago. It could be it's changed since then, but when I was a kid, I think a certain percentage of all the burgers was allowed to be made by other meat substitutes, including rat. And other things. What? What?
30-40%.
No way. 40%?
You're still able to still call it meat.
But it can't be 40% rat. No, okay. Anyway.
There are restaurants that serve rat.
Right. It's grilled rat. Certain places used to stuff like dark meat chicken underneath white meat. I mean, turkey. White meat turkey. And it would still be able to call it white meat because of a certain percentage. I think
right.
It's like... 30%, 70%.
Right. So that's you have to be careful about that stuff. So you go into McDonald's and you want to eat a burger, 100% cow, right? Angus beef, right? So what's the halacha? So we say in Yiddish, we say it's treif. That's not really that's Yiddish. That's not a halachic terminology. Halachic terminology would be it's nevela. It's a cow that hasn't been shechted properly, right? So what's the iser of eating nevela? How much nevela do you have to eat in order to get malchus? Right, kezias, because it says you can't eat nevela in the Torah. Use the lashon achila, right? But on Yom Kippur, how much food do you have to eat on Yom Kippur to be chayav karis? Right. So how much is that? The Gemara says a koseves hagasa, a large date, right? So a large date. So why not a kezias? Because the answer is, a kezias is a din of achila. This is a din of inui. So the Gemara says, the Chachamim measured and they decided that a person gets the smallest amount of yishuv hadas, he gets the smallest amount of comfort from a koseves agasa, which is larger than a kezias. You eat a kezias, you don't even know you ate anything. Right? You're like, okay, now I'm still starving. What was the point of that? You know? What? So they said because we want to, because since the Berachas HaMazon is still dependent on having eaten, so they wanted to use the Shir Achila. The Gemara has a famous comment. The Gemara has a comment that the Malachi Asharis complained to Hashem, how come you always show favoritism to the Jews? Right? So he says, well, I said in the Torah that they have to only bench if they eat a whole meal, if they're satisfied. Right? And they want to bench even if they only ate a kezias, meaning they're not satisfied. But we want very much to praise Hashem. We want to be mechayev of ourselves in praising Hashem as much as possible. So we decided that whatever is called achila, we're already going to praise Hashem for that. Right? So But that's a din of achila. That's not a din of sviyas. Anytime it's a chi of achila, so then the halacha is you need a kezayis. But if it's other dinim, then you need more than, or it's different amounts, right? Okay. How do we come on to that? I forgot. Okay. Oh, safik bracha. So you have a safik bracha. So safik brachos lahakil, right? So you're going to be lenient and not have to make another bracha unless you ate a whole meal and you don't remember whether or not you benched, whether or not you said birchas hamazon. So that's the question, right? So in those cases, you have a safik lakula. So you that's a din. Is that a din in halacha or is that a din in hanhaga? Say, when you're not making a bracha, you say, all right, I'm not sure whether or not I said bari nefashos. So that's a halacha, is that you should, but what is the halacha? The halacha is you should act a certain way, right? It's not saying that this is what it is. We're not saying, oh, the halacha is that you did say it. No, the halacha is not that you did say it. The halacha is that you should not repeat it. That you don't have to repeat it. Same thing, you have a safik derabanan lekula. Let's say the Shulchan Aruch has a case where you had some non-kosher food fell into the kosher food, and then it spilled over, and you can't measure it anymore to see if it was batel. So it depends. If it's an Isser Doraisa, so then you have to be machmir. You can't eat it. Maybe it wasn't batel. If it was an Isser Dorabanan, you could be mekel, right? So too. So is that what the halacha is? The halacha is that since it's an Isser Derabanan, the halacha is that it really was batel? No. The halacha is that we don't know if it was batel, but you have the right to act a certain way. As opposed to if it's, Doraisa, so the halacha is you don't have the right to be lenient. Right? So it's a hanhaga, it's not a halacha in that sense. The halacha is, it depends on how you act, not on what really happened. So that's the Meiri's way of looking at it. When it says the Ovid Kemar Ovid, it's saying we have a suffix. We don't know what to do. So the Din Hanhaga, it's a way of you yourself acting. And therefore, since you have the right to act in this way, so every time there's a new suffix, you have the right to act leniently again. So since today there was a suffix, what's the, do you hold like Rabbi Yehuda the Chacham? So I hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Tomorrow there's going to be a new suffix. Because a new day, I don't know what to call what. So I have the right to paskin like the Chacham. And then the day after that, maybe review it again. In other words, if you look at it as a din, when the Gemara says the Ovid Kemar Ovid, so it's if you look at it as a din of a suffik, so then every day is a new suffik, and you have the right to paskin Makula every single day. You can be lenient like the other opinion, right? So every single day is a new suffik, and you could change. As opposed to the Rosh, who said, no, this wasn't a suffik in Hanhaga. This was Ovid Kemar Ovid is a din psak halacha. You be the posek. You decide which one is the correct halacha. But once you've determined which one is the correct halacha, you can't go back on that. Yeah. So you already paskin the halacha. And therefore, you have to stick with it the whole time. Okay. Halacha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch, quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah. It's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch quotes exactly the language of Rabbeinu Yonah, says that, and the minhag hamakom nowadays is that we go until shkia, and therefore everyone has to, you can't do plag anymore, you can only do shkia. So that's the Shulchan Aruch holds. And then the Ramah says the same thing, he agrees, but he says, but where I live, the minhag hamakom is to do plag. So, that's not really a machlokas, that's just saying that the Shulchan Aruch wrote was in Svat, and the Ramah was in Krakow. So I guess I don't know what the sunrises and sunsets are like in Krakow, but it could be that it gets dark very, very late in the summer months. I have a friend from Manchester, England. He says that I don't remember exactly how late, but up to 11 o'clock at night, it could still be light outside, right? It could still be like, yeah. So he said sometimes they'll go to sleep and they'll wake up the next morning and make havdalah, So he says because it's not worth it to stay up. So they always daven in the summer months. They have to do plag. It can't, plag is late enough. Saying to wait for the sun to go down is crazy, So yeah. So you have to. So I don't know what the. What the sun's customs are in Krakow, but I can imagine it might be similarly difficult to make regular Shabbos whatever. So maybe they wanted a daven plag there. But then the question becomes, so what about on Shabbos? Right? So what about on Shabbos that... Right. So definitely the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that if you're going to miss davening with everybody else, you should daven at plag. Let's say you always do shkia, and then you but in your neighborhood
even within the same day you could do.
That's a question. It's a little bit of a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't, in other words, I don't have it right here. Do you mind if I borrow yours? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, yeah, the Mishnah Berurah is unclear. So he says, Avol in Boso Ayom Gufa Isval Mincha Achar Plag Shuv Osrlo Lisval Arvis Kodem Alaylo the Havitar Desasi Boso Ayom Gufa the Kol Ze Im Isval Biyichidi Avol Tzibur She Isvalu Mincha Kisheyelchu Leveisam Yet Torea or Torach. The kabitzam sheinis, the tefilas erev, and look at this lashon. V'yisbatel tefilas hatzibur legamrei. He kilu achronim shemutar lespal arvis samach lemincha. So he says they're all, everyone is going to daven biyichidus at home. That's what it sounds like, right? So that question is, what does he mean by that? Does he mean that therefore you should join? Let's say you go to a shul that has 1,000 people, and in your shul of 1,000 people, so, you know, all 1,000 of them are going to go home, and they're not going to come back. Not even 10 are going to come back, right? So then, if you're the rav of that shul, you should say, no, we're going to daven tarti disasri rather than everybody going home. And that for sure, he says, you should do. The question is, let's say you're Mr. 997. You're Mr. 997. And the rabbi says, listen, we have to have a 7 o'clock Shabbos davening or no one's going to come back. And you can't be mevatel. It says, Lashon, yisbatel tfilas hatzibur legamrei. Let's say the tzibur is davening. So are you supposed to be mishtatev to that tzibur? If you know without you, they're going to have 999 people in shul. Are you supposed to be one of those? Should you be Mr. 1,000? Or should you get one out of two with the tzibur for sure. Just depends which one, you know. You could get either mincha, you could daven, if they're davening after plag, then you could daven mahar and biyichidus, or you could do, you know.
But I have a better question.
That's a good question.
But perhaps
mincha, because, you know, it's a stronger chiyuv. But it's questionable.
Let's say you have the option to pray mincha mahar back to back. But there's also going to be another Maariv minyan later at 10 o'clock at night. So are you chayav to say minyan, go home and come back, or could you do the first one? Meaning you have both options.
Yeah, you should definitely, if it's feasible, I mean, if it's within reason, you should.
Yeah, but it's so inconvenient.
Yeah, so the question is how inconvenient. It's hard to measure inconvenience when it comes to these things. Generally, you have to ask yourself, if it's a 36-minute endeavor, right, that's the halacha is to daven with a minyan.
But
you usually do it
back then that you pray mahar. So now it's accepted that you can do it back to back.
Again, I'm not. It's not my. You know, one of. It's not my responsibility to explain. You can ask the rabbanim of a lot of the shuls that do it. I'm sure they have good explanations, but it's not on the books. As there are very few legitimate good explanations on the books. They're really, you know, you look around, the Aruch HaShulchan has something, and different poskim have different ideas. To daven Tarti D'Sasrei on the same day. It's very difficult. It's clearly not the best way to go. Like, once everyone's doing it anyway, so you could try to be Melamed Tzchus and figure out why they're doing it, and if it's... Certainly you're Yotze. If you did it, you're Yotze. That's what the Rush said. Remember, he said, how could they do it? So he says, well, so he's not even talking about on the same day. He's talking about from day to day. So he says, le'inyan tefillah hikilu. They were makil for tefillah. Certainly, b'dievet, if you did it, no matter what, you're Yotze.
They're davening ma'ar before
Shki. Meaning, if the average 7 o'clock minyan on Erev Shabbos is davening mincha after plag and ma'ar before Shkia. Right? Let's say plag was, let's say, 6:45, and Shkia is not going to be till 8:30. So they're davening both within the same time period. right? So that's not so good. That's even according to the Neiri, you're not allowed to do that. So that's a problem. But all right, I mean,
in the summer,
Well, it depends. I don't know. Different neighborhoods have different things. Meaning, by in my neighborhood, so we have my shul only has plag and bisman, and then. But what a lot of people will do is there's another shul right across the street where they daven 7 o'clock. So what a lot of people will do is they'll come for the plag mincha, go home, get ready for Shabbos, and then they'll be on time to the, you know, they'll come to the other shul at 7:20, right in time for Kabbalah Shabbos, you know. So they'll be on time for, you know, it could be. That's what we did, you know, this past Shabbos. We had a mincha before plag, and then we came to the Merkaziyah for a couple of Shabbos.
That was definitely after Shkia, right? The Maariv.
Oh, Maariv, it took such a long time. It could be that in the end they actually made it. They weren't planning, meaning officially, dinner was scheduled for 8:15, which was before Shkia. I don't know what time they actually got to Maariv. Because I was so nervous I was going to be late. I didn't get there until like 7:45. They hadn't even started, you know, singing You Did Nefesh yet. So I thought it could be that they actually did daven bisman, but it wasn't on purpose. So I don't know. Whatever. So many people do it. You know, you can't go around screaming that it's the worst thing in the world, because it's not. You know, it's. I wouldn't call it an avera, and it's not the way to go. If you're able to do it.
The whole idea in the first place, the whole concept of Maariv, which is a shoot, I don't see why it shouldn't be Mekel.
Okay, so the question really is, there's two opinions in the Rishonim, what it means that it's a Rishus. Like, it's, the Gemara says, Hader Kiblu Chova, so the question is, what does that mean? The Rishonim debate, what does it mean? So some say that it was never really a reshus, it was just a reshus compared to other mitzvos, meaning it was always a chiyuv, if you're doing nothing, go daven maariv, right? Just if you have another mitzvah, let's say on your way out to maariv, your mother says, I want you to do this for me right now, and if you do it later, it's not going to make me happy. It's only going to make me happy if you do it now. Right? So you say, well, osig b'mitzvah, potim min ha-mitzvah, that if I'm already on my way to daven, so I don't have to do kibud avim because I'm potter, right? So we would not say that by maariv. That's what some rishonim say, that because maariv is a reshus compared to other mitzvahs. So compared to kibud avim, maariv is only a reshus, and you can't say that maariv beats kibud avim, and you would have to miss davening maariv in order to help your mother.
Why didn't the Shabbat say make mincha towards the end of the plague?
What do you mean towards the end of plag?
Like right before Shkia, and then people aren't going to go home because Maariv's going to be 5 minutes later.
But they don't want to daven mincha then. They want to daven mincha at 7 o'clock. There's a magic number, 7 o'clock. I don't know what's so great about it. I'm saying plag, if you go to a plag minyan, it's sometimes going to be, so sometimes it'll be around 6:15, 6:30. It could get as late as 6:45. It's not so bad. 7 o'clock, if 7 o'clock is the most perfectly awesome time to make Shabbos, 6:45 can't be all that bad. You know? Okay, but the world doesn't agree with that statement. The world thinks 7 o'clock is the most awesome time to make Shabbos ever. Right? Okay. So I can't explain it. That's what people think, you know? I mean, my wife explained it to me because I don't work. So he said people who work for a living, they can still get in a full day of work and they can still have Shabbos at a decent hour. They don't have to go to sleep, you know, feeling like there's stuff to the gills and like they can't sleep. You know, you don't wake up, you know, guys, you guys will see when you're older. You know, you can't have chillant at 11 o'clock at night as much, you know, when you're my age. I still do it, but I pay the price the next day. You know, in DRS we have Thursday night, we have late night learning, and then we have chillant at midnight. So for a while I got smart and I stopped eating the chillant at midnight, but then I went back to it. So, wake up. So that's the question, meaning it's hard to know what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying, on one hand, you could argue, like you said, that, no, Tefillah B'Tzibur is better, you're better off davening Tefillah B'Tzibur, even if it's tied to the Sasrei. What? Yeah, exactly. Or you could argue that, no, he's saying that that only applies to like the rabbi of the shul saying, no, we're going to have, if the rabbi of the shul has a choice that everybody should go home and daven yechidus because no one's going to stick around, or have a tarti d'sasri minyan, you're better off having a tarti d'sasri minyan so that the whole, because it's a big deal to be mevatel a whole tzibur, right? But that does that mean that you yourself should be one of them? So if you're number 10, then for sure, yes. If you're number 1,000, then maybe not. You know, if there's going to be a minyan without you anyway, so then
everyone has that idea.
Yeah, but nobody else has the idea, Lamaisa. Just, I'm saying, Maisa b'chol yom, you know, no one else has that idea. If you know there's a 7 o'clock minyan in your shul every week because the rabbi made the cheshbon that if I tell them they have to daven plag, then either nobody's going to show up for mincha or nobody's going to show up for marav. You know? So then he decided better to have a tarti d'sasri minyan than to just be mevatel the whole tzibur, right? So, okay, but you know there's going to be a minyan. There was a minyan before you joined, and then there'll be a minyan after you don't join anymore. So that's a question. What does the Mishnah Berurah say about that? It's not so clear. All right, you have to ask your own Rav, you know, what to do under those circumstances. No, Kavod Shabbos, you could do whatever you want. Yeah, so a lot of times, no, so sometimes you'll get lucky. Oh, sometimes you get lucky, and if you have like a Kalbach davening or whatever, so you'll make it to Shkia anyway. So if you have a long enough, you know, if you have a long enough Kabbalah Shabbos, so you might end up making the Zman. But that depends. You know, that's a question. No, but you could definitely do Kabbalah Shabbos then for sure, and just wait to daven Marav later. You know, so that's another possibility. Yeah, and we'll hopefully get to the topic of accepting Shabbos. We're doing Tosefta Shabbos and Kabbalah Shabbos also. You know, that's because Kabbalah Shabbos is not really a tefillah. That's just like a nice thing that we do. You know, that it started in the 1500s in Tzfat. You know, it's a very new invention by Jewish standards. By world standards, it's pretty old, but by Jewish standards, that's like recent. You know, so that you can daven anytime you want. Really, it was originally designed that you should do it before Shabbos starts. That should be your way of accepting Shabbos. But now the way we do it, it's already been Shabbos for 20 minutes by the time we get up to Lechad Odi, you know. So that's just, it is what it is, you know. Okay. So so that's basically the Hezber, and what to do Allah Maisa in terms of, you know, that's already, you have to ask your own question in terms of what you should do personally. Okay. Very good. Let's move on to the topic of adding on to the Shabbos. Let's move on to the topic of Tosefta Shabbos. So we have, the first source is not the topic of Tosefta Shabbos, rather the topic of what we call Tosefes Inui. Tosefes Inui. The root and the source for adding what we call Mosifin Mechol Al HaKodesh, that is called Tosefes Inui. We add to Yom Kippur, right? Because we have this weird pasuk. The pasuk says, V'nisem es nafsho zeichem betisha lachodesh. You should afflict yourself on the ninth day of Tishrei, right? But we don't. We fast on the tenth day of Tishrei. So there's a few different answers to this question, right? What's the answer that we like the best?
Eat on the ninth.
Right. You got to eat a lot on the ninth day. Right. That's our favorite answer, right? So there's a big mitzvah to eat on the ninth day, right? It doesn't say. And it says if you eat on the ninth day, it's like you fasted on the ninth day as well, right? So why does it say it's like you fasted? Why don't you say it's a mitzvah to eat? So I mean, why did the Torah phrase it as your nisim es nafshal zechem? Why doesn't it say it's like you? It's a mitzvah to eat. That would be the normal way to say it. Huh? It's a mitzvah to eat on the ninth day.
Because the only reason you're eating is
maybe, yeah. So like that's what you're saying also, right? Preparing yourself for the inui, right? So, or you could argue that because, you know, when you think of what you get schar for in this world, so you say like, I got a lot of schar because I had a feast, you know, oh, it's great. Purim, you get the most schar because it's so hard to do. You know, you have a big meal and drinking and you know, being with my friends and giving out gifts, that's very hard, you know, it's a very difficult mitzvah to do. So you must get a lot of schar for it, right? No, it's the easiest mitzvah. You know, you know, we were very happy to keep Purim. We're not so you know, we say fasting Yom Kippur, that's a hard mitzvah to do. Right? So that's something. So therefore the Torah phrased it in such a way that you should realize the eating is actually just as big of a mitzvah as the fasting. And you get schar like you fasted. You got schar like you did something difficult, not like you did something easy. So therefore, phrase it that way. But what's the answer that's relevant to us? The Gemara has another answer that's relevant to us. That you have to do what? Right, you have to mosifin mechol ala kodesh. Right, mosifin mechol ala kodesh. You have to add from the weekday to the holiday. Meaning you have to take some of the weekday and add it to the holiday. Fine. So that's the way we paskin. And not only that, but we see this. That was on Pei Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara earlier on Pei Aleph Amid Aleph seems to be very, very clear that it's Doraisa. Just what? What's the difference between Tosefes and regular Yom Kippur? Meaning, let's say you
no colors.
So maybe that is. But no kares for sure, right? The Gemara says you don't get kares during Tosefes Yom Kippur, but it definitely is deraisa, right? It definitely is deraisa, right? And then not only that, but if you look in the Gemara in Beitza, so this is an interesting, right? This is an interesting discussion anyway. So, one second. There's an interesting discussion anyway, because this is one of the famous halachos that some people don't keep. Not because they're doing the wrong thing either. It's not so many times where you see a befeirsh halacha in the Mishnah and the Gemara that we don't keep bezman hazeh. Right? So he says, Omar le rova bar rav chanan labai tnan, I have a Mishnah, ein metapchin velo mesapkin vein meraktin. Right? These are things you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, and kol shekein, you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos. You're not allowed to clap, you're not allowed to dance. Right?
What's with tapkin?
Metapchin is clapping, I think. Mesapkin, I think, is like doing that. Yeah. And Meraktan is dancing. So you're not allowed to... Anybody have a tissue by any chance? No. Have them there? I'll take it. So you're not allowed to... That's okay. I'll take it. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Look at that. I'll use both. Don't worry. I'll be machmir. So the... okay, so he says you can't. So va'idna de kazina da kachazina da avdan hachi v'lo amina lo lomidi. We see people do this and we don't say anything to them, right? So we don't say anything to these people. How could it be? So why don't we protest that you're not allowed to do that? It's just mentioned to the guy. He probably doesn't know. Okay, so the Gemara goes through. Right, so they say the Gemara goes through it and discusses the different possibilities. And they say mutav shiyu shogigin v'ayu mezidin. Now, so how come you go to any place where very religious Jews, they keep kol tarkula, they still clap on Shabbos, or they bang on the table on Shabbos, or they have a dance on Shabbos? So dancing is an easy one to get out of, because it might not be what we call, you know, what they call the yeshivish shuffle, you know, walking in a circle, might not really be what the Gemara means by dancing. Some posts can quote Lashon of the Yerushalmi that in order for it to really be called dancing, there has to be times where both feet leave the ground at the same time. So if you right, so if you only have so if you only, you know, if you're only walking like this in a circle, that doesn't count really halachically as dancing, right? But clapping is clapping, you know, banging on the table is banging on the table. So Tosfos in Maseches Beitza has a heter where he says, because what's the whole iser? Shema yisakin kli shir, right? Maybe you're going to fix an instrument. So he says, why? Because if you're getting all rowdy and everybody's singing and dancing and clapping, so they're going to want to, you know, play along with the instruments. And inevitably, when you break out the guitar, what's going to happen? So it doesn't sound so good. It doesn't sound so good. So you're going to tune it.
Why isn't the mistake
speaker? That's a good question. Yeah. They didn't have guitars. They had what? They had harps, I don't know.
They had harps
for sure. Right. So they had different things. So Tosfos says, but nowadays we don't know how to fix any of these instruments. We have to call experts to fix it. You know, I don't know anybody here who plays the piano. You can't tune your own piano. You have to have like a real, you know, piano tuner come in and knows what he's doing. You know. So I always thought that wasn't such a great answer, because anybody who plays guitar knows how to tune a guitar. Right, I'm saying you can't, anybody knows how to tune a guitar. So like, and that could be an issa d'oraisa. To you have a guitar that's out of tune, you could argue that it's d'oraisa. And anybody knows how to restring a guitar also. Saying, what? Yeah, or tikkun mana at least. It's at least an issa d'rabbana to tune a guitar. So it's a kasha. But l'maisa, the world has been makel like Tosfos, that at least for the Dvar Mitzvah, at least for like Zmiros on Shabbos, and to stop, sit around singing and clapping, you know, just for fun on Shabbos, maybe not, but for Zmiros or davening or whatever, so the minhag olam is to be makel like that Tosfos. But that's not what the Gemara is talking about here. The Gemara is just saying people who just do it, and this is before the days of Tosfos where they were lenient. So he says, yeah, but it's mutav shiyu shogegin v'alyu mezidin, right? So he says, "Vahani mili b'derabbanan." That's only talking about an issur derabbanan. Avol b'deraisa lo, right? But if it's an issur deraisa, then you have to tell them anyway. You can't let them do it if they're doing an issur deraisa. Velohi, it's not so. Lo shna b'deraisa, lo shna b'derabbanan. Lo amrina luhu velo midi. He says, no, it's not true. Whether they're violating an issur deraisa or an issur derabbanan, we don't say anything. So he says, because Tosefes Yom Kippur is Doraisa, and yet we see people that they're still finishing up their meal right as it gets dark, and nobody says anything to them. So they're missing out on a mitzvah Doraisa. They're missing out on Tosefes Yom Kippurim, and still we let them eat. Right?
So is it not an opinion at all that, like, do we definitely not pass again that you get the mitzvah for eating on Erev Yom Kippur?
No, we do pass him that way.
Both?
That's a good question, how that works out for us. I mean, how do you come out with holding like both cheetos? Okay, that's a very good question. But for our purposes, we're assuming Tosefes Yom Kippurim's Doraisa. If you look, by the way, So just a Rashi over there, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the second to last Rashi. Shetzarech lahaskel ulehisanos mibod yom deoraisahi. Right? You have to start fasting while it's still daytime. Right? Again, he stresses, what are we adding on to here? We're adding on to the fast. And that's what you see from the Gemara. He says the Gemara doesn't say, right, oh, we see that Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is Doraisa, and yet they finish their meal and they drive to shul as it's getting dark. Not upset about the fact that they're driving to shul, and not only because there was no such thing as a car, right? They're not just upset about that. They're upset that they're eating. But it's mashma, maybe you could argue, like Rashi, they were still doing malacha and everything else. They just were the only thing that bothered us is that they were still eating. It's something to think about. Okay. So this is the din of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, and we see clearly from the Gemara that it's Doraisa. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is Doraisa. Good. Next, we have a discussion of what about everything else? There's no source that we can find that's clear-cut to tell us that we need Tosefes Shabbos, right? Now Yom Kippur obviously is Shabbos on. It's the great Shabbos. You know, it's the Shabbos of Shabbos.
What about the Gemara and Yuma?
What about
Shabbat
it?
Shabbat and
Tishbetu. Oh, so he says, so the Gemara and Yuma, let's go back, right? So let's see what we have there. So let's see what we have there. Right? So where is it here? Here. So he says, Ve'enli Ela Yom HaKippurim, how do I know that it applies to Yom Kippur, Shabbos Sos Minayin, from where do I learn that it applies to Shabbos as well? Talmud Lomar Tishbisu, right? Ein Liela, right? So he says, Ein Liela, I'm just reading the Mesoros HaShas way, Shabbos Sos, I only know it applies to Shabbos. Yomim Tov Minayin, how do I know it applies to Yom Tov? Talmud Lomar Shabbat Chem. HaKetzad Kol Makom Shenemru Shavus, right? Mosivin Mechol Ala Kodesh. Oh, so you see that the Gemara included Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. And yet, when the Gemara in Beitza discussed the idea of Tosefes, it only mentioned Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. It didn't mention anything about Tosefes Shabbos, didn't mention anything about Tosefes Yom Tov. Right? So one would argue that we have a discussion about Tosefes, we have a discussion about Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov in the original source of Yinisim Es Nafshos Eichem. However, when it comes to the Gemara in Beitza, we don't have a discussion about it. Right? You hear the difference? So why does the Gemara in Beitza not tell us anything about Shabbos and Yom Tov? It should say the same thing. So you can answer this in a couple of easy ways. Does everybody understand the question? It's not a difficult question. Everybody understand the question? How come when we're giving examples of, you know, of Doraisas or Tosefes, so we only talk about Tosefes Yom Kippurim? Right? I would think that people are at their frumest when it comes to Yom Kippur, right? Everybody, for better or for worse, you know, even in Batei Knesiot that are not so orthodox, you know, you still see people coming to Yom Kippur. I could say by me, there's a certain shul that it's Sephardi, so there's no such thing as conservative reform when it comes to Sephardi. But like they're not really, you know, Shomer Shabbos. So, but I could tell you that Erev Yom Kippur, all the cars fill up the whole street, the whole area filled with cars. Those cars do not get moved on Yom Kippur. I'm saying that I could tell you for sure. You know, I have a neighbor, Ashkenazi, not religious, but he drives to back and forth to the Reform Shul, you know, on Yom Kippur. But the Sephardim, they, what? Oh, yeah? Ashkenazi, people getting back at me. Anyway, so Ashkenazim, they have Reform, Conservative, whatever, but the Sephardim, when they do it, you know, al pi Torah. So people are at their most religious when it comes to Yom Kippur. So I would think if there was going to be any day that they're going to keep Tosefes, it would be Yom Kippur. And yet we see they didn't do it. But Shabbos and Yom Tov, so okay, Shabbos is once a week, Yom Tov is all the time. What's the big deal? You don't do Tosefes, right? So I would think that if they were going to do Tosefes, they do Yom Kippur. And yet we see that people still didn't do it and nobody complained. So how come the Gemara there doesn't mention Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Tov, only mentions Tosefes Yom Kippur? Right? So what could be some answers? What could be some ways to answer this question? Well, you could have answers.
Well, that's the point. That even at these Doraisa that you'd think everyone would keep, if you were to tell them, they wouldn't keep it, and therefore you shouldn't. And like the most extreme example.
No, but what I'm saying is, why are we leaving out Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yom Tov?
You only need one example.
Because we only need one example, and that's the biggest one. So we said, they don't even do Tosefes Yom Kippurim, but we keep our mouth shut. We don't say anything to them. You know?
Yeah.
That's one possibility for sure. Right? Another possibility is you could argue that these two Gemaras are arguing with one another. They don't agree. One, the Gemara in Yuma thinks that Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yom Tov are Doraisa as well. And the Gemara in Beitza holds there's no such drasha of Tishbisu Shabbat Chem. There's no such drasha. There's no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yom Tov. There's only such a thing as Tosefes Yom Kippur.
It's
possible. I feel like, why would you say that? Meaning, Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov is piggybacking off of the Iker Limud, which is clear cut, or not super clear, but easier to understand from Tosefes Inui. Right? That's the main Limud, and then we have an allusion to Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. Right? So I would say that that's like the biggest deal. Tosefes Yom Inui. Maybe, but it would be hard to say that you get killed for Tosefes Shabbos because you don't even get kares for Tosefes Yom Kippur. So it would be hard to say that you get killed for Tosefes Shabbos, right? Whatever. Trying to show them how you get killed. Anyway, so but it could be. So you could argue again. You could argue that One Gemara holds of Tosefes Shabbos and one Gemara doesn't hold of Tosefes Shabbos. You could argue that, no, they're just giving an extreme example of when they, we would think that everybody would listen, and yet they don't, so we don't say anything. Or you could say another possibility, that what's the purpose of this Gemara? This Gemara is trying to be mechalik between the Oraisas and the Rabbanans. Right? So you could say that this Gemara is assuming Tosefes Yom Kippur is the Oraisa, and Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov is the Rabbanan. Because what are we trying to bring an example for? We're saying, oh, when it comes to the Rabbanans, don't say anything to the guy. Right? When it comes to the Rabbanans, don't say anything. When it comes to the Oraisas, you have to say something. Aye, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is the Oraisa, and we still don't say anything. You can't ask the Kasha, aye, Tosefes Shabbos is the Oraisa, we don't say it because Tosefes Shabbos is not the Oraisa. Tosefes Shabbos is the Rabbanan. I learned it out from the Pasuk, so you could say that wasn't a real limud. That was a, you know, asmachta ba'alma. That was like, a, you know, one is clear cut. It says you're supposed to fast on the ninth day. That's pretty clear. And the other one is, you know, it says the word Shabbos, you know, Shabbason, whatever, Tishbisu, Shabbat Techem, whatever. So, it's not the same thing. It's a different level. So you could say that as well. And these are the way the Rishonim seem to play out. These are the way the Rishonim seem to learn. As an introduction to the Rishonim, let's, not going to get very far right now, but as an introduction to the Rishonim, let's just do the Gemara and Shabbos Chav Zayin and Beis. So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ovin, Rav Tzoli Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, right? So we kind of alluded to this Gemara last time. We quoted that as a raya, that the halacha is like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, right? That because Rav davened early on Erev Shabbos, so Rav Yoshia Matzle Shel Motzai Shabbos Bishabbos, and Rav Yoshia actually davened early on Motzai Shabbos. Rav Tzoli Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos Omer Kedusha Yom Alakos O Eino Omer Kedusha Alakos. Did he also say Kiddush early? That's the question. Did he also make Kiddush early? So Toshma. So let's bring a raya. Dom Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mispal Adam Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos Va'omer Kiddush Alakos V'Hilchas Akavase. Right? Not only a lot of daven early on Erev Shabbos, you can even say Kiddush, and that's halacha. V'Rab Yoshia Matzli Shel Mosai Shabbos B'Shabbos Omer Havdalah Alakos. You know Omer Havdalah Alakos. Are you allowed to make Havdalah when it's still Shabbos? So Toshma Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel Mispal Adam Shel Mosai Shabbos B'Shabbos Omer Havdalah Alakos. Yes. Right? Rav Yudah said the name of Shmuel. You can even say Havdalah while it's still Shabbos.
Is it the Rambam later on?
Well, nobody can dispute this. This is like Halacha Psuka in the Gemara.
It doesn't say Halacha Saka Vasei then.
True. Okay. But we don't really see a major argument here. It says, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rebbe Asi, Amar Rebbe Lozer, Amar Rebbe Chanina, Amar Rav. A lot of people in the name of Rav. Bitzad Omudze Ispalo Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. On this exact spot, this is where Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, davened early on Erev Shabbos.
We could say that this whole Gemara follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We follow Rabbanan today, so really.
Well, it's not really clear because you are right about that because the Gemara later on proves that tries to use that as a proof to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, right? So it could be that, but in the end, that's fair. That's very, very fair. But for our purposes, even if you, but Kiddush would not necessarily be dependent on that anyway. Right? Now, to say Kiddush, everyone agrees, it's not really Shabbos until it's dark outside. Right? But, so in other words, to make Kiddush early, that seems to be the big Kiddush here. Like the daven early, that we already discussed. But to make Kiddush early, that seems to be the bigger Kiddush. So ki also Amar
Bitzad. According to the Rush, if it's nighttime, then now it's...
And it's still nighttime for purposes of Tefillah. It's not necessarily nighttime for the purposes of Shabbos. You could definitely differentiate between the two.
No, so it's not making money.
I don't think anybody would say, including Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to accept Shabbos from Plaga Mincha. I don't think we would say such a thing.
When do we accept Shabbos?
No, the early halacha l'maaseh, the earliest you can accept Shabbos is Plaga Mincha. If you accept Shabbos at noon, you know, so that's like accepting Shabbos on Monday.
We learned that in the Rambam, you can daven Mincha early, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you accept Shabbos.
Right. So he says, so let's just finish the Gemara. He says, B'tzad timra have, below b'tzad amud have. He says, first of all, you got your story wrong. Standing next to a tree, he wasn't standing next to a pillar. He says, below Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi have, El Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi have. It was his brother, Rabbi Lazar. Below Shal Shabbos, Be'erim Shabbos, El Shal Motzai Shabbos, B'Shabbos have. Okay. So he says, you got a lot of things wrong about that story. So he says, it was really davening early. No, he davened Ma'ariv early on Motzai Shabbos, not Ma'ariv early on Erev Shabbos. Okay. So let's just wrap this up. Let's point out the Ra'ah, and then we'll get into... But I think now we have a firm basis to like go through the Rishonim, and we understand how you can come out L'Halacha. So first of all, it's very clear the facts that you cannot dispute. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is Doraisa. Can't dispute that. Right? Tosefes Shabbos could be Doraisa, could be Derabbanan, or could be Machlokas. Right? Could be that there's Machlokas, whether it even exists. Right? Then you have another Gemara which says you can definitely daven Ma'ariv Erev Shabbos, and you can even make Kiddush. But then again, you can definitely daven Ma'ariv early Motzai Shabbos, and you can even make Havdalah. So maybe that helps us, maybe it doesn't. Right? So in other words, maybe there's just like some quirk in the world of Kiddush and Havdalah which allows us to make it early. But not that like that means anything. Meaning everyone agrees that if you daven early Ma'ariv on Motzai Shabbos, it's still Shabbos. You can make all the Havdalahs you want. That doesn't like cause it to be no longer Shabbos. So you could argue, oh, this proves there is an Indian of Tosefes Shabbos. Or you could argue that, no, this is just something in Hilchas Tefillah, something in Hilchas Kiddush, nothing to do with adding on to the Shabbos. You hear? Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to go through the Rishonim with all this in mind. So if you got it, again, if you saw all the stuff, you know, keep go over to, you know, again, try to make sense out of it all. If you didn't get a chance to read everything inside, try tomorrow to read through the Gemaras inside. Sure. Have a great day, guys.